Today on Real Radio.
It is the most preeminent doctrine in all of the Bible. Salvation. In fact, the next topic outside the doctrine of salvation is the topic of Christ's return in the Scriptures. The prophetic word of God comes second to the number one doctrine, and that is salvation.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues now in his topical series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? If there were a short list of soul-searching questions, how do we get from here to heaven? It has to rank somewhere in the top five, wouldn't you say? Why? Well, simple. We're all going to face death at some point, should the Lord tarry. In fact, this is just one reason why Pastor Jack has decided to make this an extended topical series. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs continuing his series called How Do We Get From Here to Heaven?
Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, that is the theme verse for our series tonight. And we are looking at what the series is entitled, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? How do we get from here to heaven? And last week we looked at faith. What does the issue of faith play in our Christian experience? And I tell you what, I have been arguing with myself over this particular thing. I wish we weren't in a setting like we are right now. I'm very grateful that so many of you are here tonight, but I would love to take this title tonight and just sit around a big coffee table and just really have a come to Jesus meeting over this topic. It's so important. We are looking at a topic tonight entitled, Can I Lose My Salvation? It's what everybody thinks about. It's not heard too much on radio programs or broadcasts. It's not heard too often in church sermons on Sunday. It's often a topic that most teachers or pastors will shy away from because there seems to be so much ambiguity on the topic, and yet I think it's the exact opposite. And you might say, well, Jack, you know, who made you the authority on the topic? Nobody made me authority, and I'm not an authority on the topic, but I know who is. I know his name, and I know that he doesn't play games. He's not a trickster. He's not some sort of a game player. And if he wants me, and if he wants you to go and tell the world about his wonderful love and his incredible power to save, I have a very, very hard time thinking that gift that he offers us is somehow conditional. Now, tonight you might be thinking, oh, I know the direction you're going to go. Oh, just wait. I want you to be biblically based regarding your salvation. It is the most preeminent doctrine in all of the Bible. Salvation. In fact, the next topic outside the doctrine of salvation is the topic of Christ's return in the Scriptures. The prophetic word of God comes second to the number one doctrine, and that is salvation. The doctrine of salvation. Well, we're looking at it tonight, and as we have been in the context of believers tonight. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, Paul said, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God wants you to live for him. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Second verse for this particular topic, it is this tonight. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 15. You can turn there, or you can write the reference down. Here it is, 1 Timothy 1:15. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and Paul adds this, of whom I am chief. Wow. Paul saw himself as a rotten, stinking sinner saved by the grace of God. Well, I have to say, Paul, scoot over, because I see myself as a rotten, stinking sinner saved by the grace of God. And if you've ever taken a look at the cross, and if you've ever gazed into the face of Jesus, as it were, by faith through the word of God, and you've seen his love for you, then you've got to conclude, you know what? I too am a rotten, stinking sinner, scoot over, Jack, Because it's a personal Savior and a personal salvation. Because listen, he personally loves you and then he died on the cross for you. And it's a personal relationship. Regarding this topic about salvation and can it be lost, there's been much debate over the issue of salvation, eternal security, whether or not a Christian can become a non-Christian after their salvation. There's no doubt that certain verses on the surface seem to indicate that a Christian maybe could lose their salvation, but once you begin to look at it and understand it, the scriptures in their biblical context, you begin to be comforted and understand more and more about who and to what the author was addressing. There are some very important questions as we look to this that we want to be asking. Number one, what is a Christian? What is a Christian according to the Bible? Not according to the popular consensus, but what does the Bible say? Who is a Christian? That's vital to the understanding about can you lose your salvation or not. Number two, can a Christian stop believing in Jesus Christ? Once a person becomes a Christian, can they stop believing in Jesus Christ? And third, can a Christian lose his or her salvation? We're going to be looking at these very important questions over the course of the next few weeks. When we talk about biblical salvation, we're talking about that which is the single most important issue in all of the Bible. Salvation. It's the very basis of God communicating to man. Salvation. You've seen me do this before. I love doing it. I'm going to do it again. And it's this. I am going to turn in my Bible. There you go. This right here, look, this is including the cover. This is all of creation, all of angels, Garden of Eden, all pre-fall history right there. You see that? Look at that. Okay? This is after Adam and Eve blow it. This is God saying, come back home. Hurry up. I love you. This is what I'm telling you, how much I love you. This is the redemption story. It's absolutely awesome to think about. It's incredible. But the doctrine of salvation is something that is absolutely central. And my friend tonight, you are either somewhere on two ends or in between the bookends. That is, you're saved and you know it and you're humbled by that. You're gloriously happy about that. You're not arrogant about it all. You understand that God saved you and that you got it. You're the one that would say, there go I, but for the grace of God. And then there are those on the opposite end. I'm talking about those that are in this house tonight. Those are on the opposite end, and they may be saved, they may be going to heaven, they may love the Lord, but instead of this person being so excited and delighting in their faith and walking on with God, this precious saint is over here in the corner, somewhat in the fetal position, sucking their thumb, wondering if they'll ever get victory in Jesus. Every thought they have condemns them. Every move they make condemns them. Everything they do, they're constantly swallowed up, and they would do anything to shed this body of sin and death. They live in a very, very dark, sad, heavy, legalistic relationship with God. And I got news for you. That is not where the Lord would have you to be. You are probably in that state of condition with a conditional salvation in your heart and mind because you have related to God in a works-based relationship. Very legalistic. Very, very heavy and no joy. But I want you to remember, the scripture says the joy of the Lord is your strength. Jesus said this in Luke 19:10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. How good is that? Salvation. We're announcing tonight to maybe some ear in here this evening that has never heard this, that Jesus Christ came to seek you out. He's hunting you down because he wants you to know that he is willing and able to save you. The Bible teaches that we are separated from God until we come to Christ. And that relationship of coming to Christ is that very act of salvation. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have all turned everyone to his own way. It's the nature of who we are. And Jesus Christ came to set us free from that, to bring us salvation. And frankly, when the scripture says there in Isaiah that we've all, like sheep, gone astray, and we've all turned our own way, The truth of the matter is, salvation brings us in line and in the light of the understanding of who God is and to know Him personally. And until that happens in our lives, frankly, my friends, we are very much full of ourselves and full of self-righteousness and full of self-aggrandizement. We may not even like ourselves in that condition, but we're full of ourselves and full of self-aggrandizement. It's contrary to the things of God. He wants you to know Him, and that's a wonderful freedom and release. Self-preservation is normal for human beings, and that is a fact, and it's a good thing. But when it comes to spiritual matters, self-preservation can keep you and I out of heaven altogether. In Matthew 16, 24, Jesus said to the disciples, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself." And man, this goes against our flesh, doesn't it? "Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." In other words, you want to go my way? Okay, grab your cross. I'm heading to that hill over there, and I'm going to get nailed to this piece of wood I'm hauling up there. You grab your piece of wood, and you come with me. See, what is he talking about? I thought Jesus died for my sins. He did die for your sins and mine. But when he says, pick up the cross and follow me, he's asking us to take our plans, our will, our plan to do things or to not do things, and to nail it to the cross, kill it. You say, man, you Christians are a bunch of whack, crazy nuts. You guys just kind of drooled. You have no brain of your own. Oh, no, 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 no. We have a brain of our own. That's how we got in trouble in the first place. Okay, we can get in trouble just fine. It's our will. And let me ask you something. To what or to whom are you yielding to? Whatever you're yielding to, I guarantee you it involves a will. That is a willful decision. I would rather yield to the obedience of Christ than what I did in my life, and that was yield to my own devices and plans. It doesn't work, and it certainly doesn't turn out good in the end. So Jesus says, "For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul?" Answer, nada, niet, nothing, nope, you can't. You can't bargain with the devil and somehow get out of hell card. Not going to work. You've got to bring your life to the surrendering lordship of Jesus. Salvation is coming to him and saying, "Lord, you died for me, and I come into your world, Lord. I come into your salvation. I come into your life. I don't want to live my life anymore the way I live it. I want to come and surrender all to you." There's a liberty to that is unmatched in this world. So here we go. Number one, it is this. And by the way, no panic. We'll go as far as we can tonight, okay? So don't look at the watch, or the clock will stop on time. Like around 11, something like that. How do we get from here to heaven, and can I lose my salvation? Number one, jot this down. Questioning God's salvation is where we begin. Questioning God's salvation. You say, "Jack, can we really do that?" Oh, listen, I'm encouraging you to do that. God is so great, he is so awesome, that he's not threatened by questioning, okay? Listen, if you go to a good school is a school that will allow you to question the teachers or the professors. A good school will allow you to say, "Excuse me, you just said this about what and about the other? I have a question about that." We have lost in our culture, in our society, the art of critical thinking. I don't mean critical like, "Hey man, you know what, you smell." I don't mean that kind of critical. I'm talking about critical thinking where, "How come? Why? How does that work? And I'm not sure if I believe that. Can you help me through this? And what makes you think it's true?" The place of argument, the place of debate, that's what I tell you, on Wednesday nights I love, because many of you, and I understand this, you got kids over there and you got to get the kids out of here and all that kind of stuff, and you got to get home for school and for work tomorrow. But so many people, predominantly young people, hang out Wednesday night here after service, talking, debating, going forth, arguing the way the right word to define arguing should be. And then they go over to Starbucks or wherever and they continue it on. That's a good thing. We need to do more and more of that. But check this out. God wants you and I to question, to ask questions, to wonder, to get the answers to this amazing doctrine of salvation. So here it is. What is salvation according to the scriptures? The Greek word for the word salvation is soteriology, which is the study of salvation, the science of what the Bible has to say about it. And it simply means this. The Greek word means to rescue or to bring to safety, or here's the word that we use a lot, to save out of peril or danger. As Christians, we are very guilty of a very, very naughty thing. And that is, after about a year of being a Christian, we start talking Christianese. Christianese. And to the world, it might as well be Chinese, because it's like, what? And we see things like this. Oh, man, he's saved. Oh, yeah, my friend of mine, he got saved last week. And the world's going, where was he? Honestly, remember, you guys, we've been Christians too long in our head, okay? Well, did he fall in the pool? Was he lost at sea? They don't know what we're talking about. But we start talking Christianese. You know, our car blows up. Hey, praise the Lord. What are you, nuts? They don't understand us. And I don't blame them for not understanding us. Well, I'm just resting in the Lord. What does that mean to a non-believer? Waiting on Christ, just waiting on the Lord. You guys, it freaks them out enough when we say to them, just going to pray about it. We need to be careful. We need to understand something. Yes, he saves us. Salvation is him saving us, but we need to be careful. Now, in our context, we can talk about it, but saving means what? To be rescued. We ought to start talking about, Jesus rescued me. Maybe the world would say, from what? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Then we can tell them. But they hear this word saved, although it is true. He rescues us. He saves us. He brings us to safety. In an act of God to rescue, those who are in peril, the word means. To bring to safety, those who are doomed. The intervention of the Savior to save those who are lost or those who are in need of rescue. G. Campbell Morgan says, Saviorhood and salvation cannot be separated. Since it is the role of a Savior to save, and a Savior is one who rescues another or others from a dangerous or threatening situation. Listen to this. So then, salvation, in its basic definition, means to be rescued from some calamity or other dire situation. The Bible uses this term in a specific way to refer to ultimate redemption from sin and reconciliation to God. In this context, then salvation is from the ultimate calamity of the judgment of God. It is Jesus Christ the Savior who, 1 Thessalonians 1:10, delivers us from all wrath to come. And all God's people said, amen. Man, that's good news. In 1 Peter 3:18, the Bible says, For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust. That's him for us. That he might bring us to God, that's that word rescue, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Holy Spirit. Listen to this. This is kind of fun. Will you write this down? Act like it excites you, because it really blessed me today to discover this, because I didn't read it in a book. I actually found it myself. First written appearance of salvation in the scriptures, the word, is Genesis 49:18, and it says there, I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. That's the first written reference or announcement of salvation. By the way, you may remember this from Sunday, but that salvation is Yeshua, meaning something or someone being saved or delivered or rescued. And then the first act of salvation might shock you. The first act of salvation is found in Genesis 3:21. Also, both Adam and Eve, the Lord God did make coverings of animal skin, and he clothed them. An animal had to give its life to provide its skin for the covering of Adam and Eve's sins. Salvation. It's an amazing thing that only, by the way, after the fall, did Adam and Eve know or feel that they were naked. Isn't that interesting? They were naked. The Bible says God made them, they were naked. Now, I love what the ancient rabbis taught. The ancient rabbis taught that Adam and Eve, based upon some ancient Hebrew thinking, and maybe it's true. It sounds good to me. In fact, I'm going to believe it. It says that Adam, they believe that Adam and Eve in the garden walked in light, that they were somehow clothed or wrapped in light. They were naked, but they were not, they weren't exposed. Good word, thanks. Why don't you come up here and then come down? They were not exposed. They were clothed in light, which is cool because the Bible says that we are to walk in the light as he, what? Is in the light. And if we walk in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. How cool is that? So when they sin, Adam and Eve, their light bulb. Man, you are naked. Oh, yeah, you're pretty naked yourself. And God took an animal and clothed them with the life, as it were, of that animal. Amazing. So that's vitally important. The very, very concept of salvation is awesome altogether. Because what salvation is God announcing to us the truth, my friend. Be honest. People, listen, they don't like to hear this. And yet they're running away from the very, very thing that will set them free forever. And that is God provided salvation to set us free from the grip of sin, which is native to who we are. It's native to who we are. S-I-N, positive in our spiritual DNA. We are sick with sin. Nobody wants to hear that because it's true. People want to just say, you know what? You're going to upset me. How can you say that? Somebody should make a UN resolution that should be against the law. Don't worry, they're working on it. But it's true. As I said before, you don't teach your little kids to steal. Now, look, Junior, you're walking now. You're doing great. As soon as you can, I want you to start just picking all the pockets of your uncles and aunts and go through your grandma's purse and steal stuff. You don't tell your little kid that. You got to tell the little stinker not to steal. What are you doing? Right? They lie. You don't tell. Now, look, when your mom makes the cookies, sets them out there, and when she says, don't eat those cookies, you just say, I'm not going to eat them. And then go eat them. And then when she asks you, did you eat them? Now get this down. Don't blow it. I hope you can get this. You tell her you didn't eat them. No parent tells their kid that. Why? They do it naturally. They got crumbs on their face. They've wiped the crumbs on their clothes. Did you eat those cookies? I didn't see any cookies.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a lesson that answers the question, how do we get from here to heaven? In fact, what we heard today is just a portion of part 5 in this series. Again, the title is, How Do We Get From Here to Heaven? We'll continue with more on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Well, the fall semester is upon us, and you know, we get a lot of requests this time of year for a series by Pastor Jack that takes a look at the challenges that students face as believers while in the world of academia. The series is called Being a Christian While Being on Campus. Now, the big reason that a lot of folks want to have a look at this two-part presentation is because Pastor Jack deals with real-life issues in this arena from the standpoint of divine Proverbs-style wisdom. Being a Christian while being on campus, it's been aired right here on Real Radio, and if you've ever heard it, well, you know what I'm talking about, and you know why we get a lot of requests for it. At times, we have made it a special offer because our goal, quite frankly, is simply to equip you, if I may use that New Testament term. Well, two things regarding Pastor Jack's series, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. First, we're going to be airing this series over the next couple of weeks here on Real Radio. Make sure to catch that. Second, we're also offering it right now in a 2-DVD set for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio. Of course, by getting the DVD set, you'll see and hear the entire series uncut. So again, for your gift of any amount to the ongoing broadcast outreach of Real Radio, we'll send you Pastor Jack's 2-DVD set, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. Parents, if you get kids going back to school, this might be a good time for them to watch. Just ask for it by name, Being a Christian While Being on Campus. Our telephone number, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd like, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.